All right, we're going to get on the floor here. All right, yeah, thank you. And a table, a bistro or something? Good. Good, good. Woo! Praise the Lord. All right, you guys got right over there. You got your Bibles? If you don't have your Bible, then I need you to get your phone. And that first time you ever sat through a class where somebody said, get your phone, get your stuff. Because what I want to do with you is something that I used to do with my kids when I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for a long time. It's actually what I thought I would do with my whole life. I thought that I would travel and preach to young people in conferences all over the world. God had a different plan. You know, if you'll ever get to a place where you can just say to the Lord, I'm available. If you've ever been an intern, you know that's my life phrase, I'm available. So if you ever are really serious, like you can't play games with God. Yeah. Like if you want to flippantly say, oh, I'm available, and you end up somewhere halfway across the world, and in your heart you're going, I never really meant to say that. Like what are you going to do, play games with God? He knows. I want to tell you, as I've been meditating over being with you tonight, I feel a very strong prophetic stirring to tell you that the school year, the beginning of the year for you, will be a powerful time of you communicating the gospel. Now, sometimes that can be really scary. It can be really intimidating. Like, God, like, you really want to use me to tell somebody about Jesus? Like, I just barely know Jesus myself. I don't ever really read the Bible, and what would you want me to say to him? That's what I want to do with you tonight. I want to put a tool in your hand that will help you be able to share somebody. Because I want to tell you, I know prophetically, this morning when I was praying over, I know in the middle of my belly, this year will be an explosive year for the majority of you that will say, God, I'm available. Can I see your hand if I got any availability in the room tonight that you would say, God, I don't care where you send me. Now, don't listen. Stop. Put your hand down. Don't raise your hand if you're just doing it because you need somebody beside you to look at you and see it. I want to know what the condition of your heart looks like, because if you raise your hand and say, God, I'm available, you might find yourself in Africa in a year preaching the gospel. So I'd like to know, do I have any availability in the room tonight? Like, God, I don't care where you put me. I don't care what you do with me. But God, I'm available. Turn me upside down. Do with me whatever you need to do with me tonight, God. You can place me anywhere where you need the gospel. You available? Right. How would you like a tool in your hand to help with that? Because sometimes are you a wee bit intimidated when you need to share, get somebody to Jesus? I'm always amazed that people say, I can't be at work at the altar because I don't know the sinner's prayer. Stop that noise. Like, shut up. There's no real sinner's prayer. Come on, help me, right? Like just say Jesus. Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say Jesus. Like, you ain't got to confess 17 things. You just got to say Jesus. And you got to mean it. And the next thing you know, bam, you're in the family. And the Bible says all of heaven rejoices that one soul should be saved. I want to tell you, if you give yourself to the Lord, you will see your friends get saved this year. You'll see your family. I felt like the Lord said several of you not only have friends that are unsaved, but you have family that don't know Jesus. We're in a time where the clock is escalating, and it's escalating quickly. There's no time to play anymore. There's no time to hope you can get all hyped up like this. Like, this is a great service to come. Like, everybody's all hyped up and jumping, and I just want to know if you feel that passionately about telling somebody that Jesus loves them. Because you never can tell. Have you not seen how many people are like around us are going to heaven on a real kind of rapid. You turn around, this one's gone, that one's gone. Depression is running rampant in our country. Now, depression is not a person, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that grabs a hold and says, there's nobody you can turn to. You're isolated. You're a failure. You know, there's always somebody to turn to. We're just looking for all the wrong things in the wrong places. I'm going to tell you, you can always lift up your eyes because your help resides there. Come on, somebody. Help me preach tonight. I'm going to tell you, if you feel the spirit, did I say spirit? You feel the spirit of depression coming on you. You want me to give you a real clue as to what to do? Walk outside, lift up your face, and lift up your eyes, and I promise you, you will feel better. You'll feel that spirit come up, because when you lift up your eyes and you look up, you will see the vastness of God. And if God is that vast, He's big enough to handle your stuff. He's big enough to look at you and see that you are in fact a sinner and you are in need of Him. And if you lift up your eyes and lift up your face and say, God, I am in need of you, He will enter that space with you. He can turn it around faster than you can. I double dog dare you. Now, see, they said that when I was a child 100 years ago. Not that y'all ever say that anymore, but I double dog dare you. If you want to feel the presence of God invade your space, walk out of that room, lift up your face, and look at the sky. Just look up, and you will feel, I promise you, if that's not true, you come into my office and talk to me. You'll feel a peace come into you. So what I want to do tonight is I want to show you a real easy tool. If you don't have your Bible, then you'll use your phone. If you've got your Bible, I need you to write in it. Now, don't tell me it's no sacred something and you can't write in it. I went and pulled out my Bible because I knew I was going to speak to you tonight. I'm like, Lord, let me go back to when I was a youth pastor. I pulled my Bible from 33 years ago. Now, I was about 2 when I was a youth pastor, in case you're trying to calculate my age. Right? So 33 plus 2 is what? 35. There you go. Right? Does that work? 21, yes, with 40 years experience. I am at heart. So I pulled my Bible out that's 33 years old, and I began to read, and I'm like, golly jeepers, all these notes are like big time crazy good stuff. I know, remember, it's all right. Double dog dare y'all. So anyway, if you don't write in your Bible, start it tonight. Just, it's all right. I give you permission. God's not mad at you for writing in your Bible. I often write in my Bible my name, Kathy, because you do realize this letter was written to you. See, I'm just big enough and bold enough to feel like God wrote this letter just for me. Anybody else in the room? Like, I'm God's favorite. Does anybody know that? Well, you know, God's got... Come on, what?
I'm God's favorite.
Oh, come on now. How about... Look at your neighbor and say, I'm God's favorite.
I'm God's favorite.
No, look at your other neighbor and say it like you mean it.
I am.
So I'm going to stand on this step and say, a double dog dare you to say I'm God's favorite louder than me. I'm God's favorite.
I'm favorite.
See if you can ever get a hold of that. If you can ever really get a hold of that, you can begin to see God in a real realm of who He really is. Because sometimes we're all screw-ups. I get it. And we see ourselves as a screw-up. And we think that that's all God sees in us, and it's not. He sees you through the cross. He sees you in a different way than you see yourself. Lift up your eyes and get it. And you know what? Your friends that need Jesus, they see themselves in a bad way too. They get depressed. They act ugly. They do nasty kind of things. Out of a wounded heart, somebody needs to tell them that Jesus loves them. And it doesn't have to be hard. Listen, you can go to any country in the world and you know a whole lot more from coming to Passion Student Ministries than most of the people in that country. Right? Like, you know, Jesus loves you is a simple thing. So if somebody were to come to you and were to say, what is the most famous verse in the Bible? Got an idea what that would be? Ah, you do. Open your Bible there tonight. Let's start. Let's go to work. You want to go to work? Yeah. Can I have a writer? Mm-hmm. So, whomever. Oh, look at all these favorites.
Somebody who can actually write.
Somebody, look at all these. I'm God's favorite. I don't care. All right, John 3:16. John 3:16. So if you don't want to write in your Bible, go to your phone and get a note page open. But you know what? It would be really good because I was a public school teacher for 25 years. I am not an auditory learner. Most people are not. Most people are visual learners, just like this. So I want you, if you don't mind, if you don't have a Bible app, you can download that, right? And if you don't have a Bible, see me and I will get you one. I would love to buy you a Bible if you don't have one. But you can go to Bible.com and download that on your phone. I want you to read the scripture with me. So if somebody were at school and the Lord says to you, I want you to speak to that person and tell them that Jesus loves them, You're like, well, what am I going to do after that? Start here. I'm going to give you 12 scriptures that, as long as I've preached the gospel, which is years, right, I can't remember all 12 of these. So I'm going to teach you at the end of each verse, we're going to write go to, and we're going to put the next scripture in it. So if you can start at John 3:16, I'm going to tell you to go to this one. Then when we go to that verse, we're going to write the next verse, go to it. You understand the process? That way, when you've got your Bible at school and somebody says, listen, because let me tell you, people can look at our lives, and we sure want our lives to say Jesus, but sometimes folk need to see it. They need to see it written down. Like, they need to really see it for themselves. And sometimes that folk is us. Come on. Like, even for me, as I've been preparing and rereading these over the last couple of days, I'm like, Lord, your word is good. And if you know anything about me, like Pastor Denny said, my office is always open to you. Like, I am always available to you. And my very favorite thing to do is talk about the word of God. It's my cooking is second. But my cooking is second. But because I honestly believe that you will fail in life without God's word in your heart. You really will. If this can become something that you do on an everyday basis and it becomes life to you like drinking water, you can only physically live 3 days without water. You can live 7 days. You know, if you're really sickly, you can live 3 days. You can live 50 to 60 days without food, but you can only live 3 days without water. And then you're going home. Like, you're going to cross the river upstate. It's the same way with going without God's word. The longer you go without reading God's word and digesting it, you will set yourself up for long-term failure. You at John 3:16 with me? Okay. For God so loved the world, that doesn't mean he picked and choosed. You can say, well, he doesn't love pedophiles. God doesn't love pedophiles. Really? Is that what your word says? Really? For God so loved the world that he gave his only King James, old school, begotten son, that whosoever, anybody that believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Right? John 3:16, you got that? I love John 3:17. For God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Okay? So at the end of John 3:16, this is what I want you to write. I want you to write, go to John 10:10. Go to John 10:10. So you're going to start at John 3:16, and then you're going to John 10:10. Flip there in your Bible for me, please. John 10:10. Write that down and flip. Now, even if you're writing in your Bible, and you know you're not always going to have your Bible with you, it's good to have this written in your phone somewhere so that you can do this exercise at home when you get home. John 10:10. You know this one. It's a familiar passage. It's talking about the sheep, and I love talking about sheep. I are one. As stupid as they are, I are one. You know, praise the Lord. Dependent on the shepherd. The sheep is dependent on the shepherd. So we are at John 10:10. You there? Okay. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have that life to the full. They who? I want to be in the they group. They, the believers, those that have called upon the name of the Lord. How many of you want to be in the they group? That you would have life and that life abundantly. See, the thief wants to come and steal and kill and destroy your entire life. But Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life and that life abundant. So at the bottom of 10:10, I want you to write, go to Romans 3:23. Now, if you're in your Bible, that means take a right, a couple of books, and keep going. Flip in your Bible for me to Romans 3:23. Are you there? Nope. Okay. We're waiting. I like hearing these pages flip. Good for you. Romans 3:23. For some have sinned. Say it. All. Are you all in the group? In the all group. Any sinless folk in the room? Does that that comforts me. Like, I'm not the only screw up in the room. You know what I'm saying? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came in Christ Jesus. For when you're when you're talking to your friends, you know, sometimes they want to, well, you know, God has favorites. Now, we did confess that, right? But then they'll want to announce to you that some sin is different than other sin. The Bible really says that all sin's in the same category unless it is sin committed against your own body, like sexual sin. That is a different level of sinning. Everything else falls in the same category, but sexual sin, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You lie to somebody, lying to them, right? You commit sex and you have sexual sin, you're committing that with the Holy Spirit interior to you. See the difference? That's the only sin in the Bible that the Bible sets apart from all other sin. So you can say to whomever, listen, God loves you, and then we get to this verse, all of us have sinned. All of us, me too, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. At the bottom of that, I want you to write, go to Romans 6:23, and take a right. Romans 6:23. So we just said, all have sinned. We said, God loved the world, sent His only begotten Son. Now we've established the fact that everybody is a sinner, right? All of us. All right, so we're on Romans 6:23. Everybody with me? You there? Now look, so what happens to a sinner? The Bible says, in, because see, here's the thing. When we read the Bible, you can use the Bible as a proof, right? Some people are very scientific by nature, like me. I need to be able to see it, to get it. So the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages, some scripture says penalty. Some say, the message says the cost of sin. For the wages of sin is death, period. See, there are a lot of people that think God's not going to send anybody to hell. Everybody's going to get their little ticket in the end. Because God is good. God is good. God is great. Yay, God. Lie. That's a lie. There's a real hell, folk. Like a real hell. And people that don't get on the way with Jesus are going to find out what that real hell is like. So your friends that want to stand off and say, well, God's a good God. He's not going to punish anybody. He's never going to say, that is not what the Word says. See, you can be deceived if you don't know really what the Word says. And like Frank Seamster said the other day, Jesus is not some bumper sticker. Like, you better hope you know more than a bumper sticker slogan when it comes to it. Right? The world needs to know that you know the Word of the Lord. You are His child, therefore you know His voice. You should know His Word and be able to communicate it. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. How many of you like the gift of God part? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So for those outside of Jesus, there will be a cost. There will be a penalty. The wages of that is death. But you get in with Jesus and you get eternal life. You get to cross the river and eat from the tree of life forever. That's awesome. Now, at the bottom of that, I want you to write, go to. Now, we're going to switch into the Old Testament. Because, you know, Jesus does live in both sides of the book, right? Like, some folk only think Jesus is in the New Testament. So let me show you from the Old Testament. You mean the Old Testament talks about Jesus? Plenty of prophets. Lots of prophets. Go to Proverbs 14:12. So flip backwards. Proverbs 14:12. So your friends are going to think that their way is right. You have friends like that? Doesn't matter what your life looks like. They're going to want to do what they want to do, live their life. Man, we're only young once. Ever heard that? We're only young once. Mm-hmm. Not that any of y'all have ever said that or used that excuse, right? But everybody can easily justify their own lifestyle. But look what Proverbs 14:12 says. There is a way that seems right to man. Like, I want to live my own lifestyle. I'm okay with two women being married. I'm okay with God's judge looking out and saying, this person can't be saved, that person can't be saved, that country can't be saved because ISIS is there. Let me tell you, all the countries belong to God. All of them. Every country, all over the world, will have people that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Salvation is not tied to your country. Salvation is tied to your belief in Jesus Christ. Right? So we can't just say, oh, well, arbitrarily. But look at what this is. There is a way that seems right to man. I like my own way. That's called my will. We talked about that in CI class last week, right? I want my way because I like my way. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. You can do what you want to do, but is it what God says you can do? See, the thing is, a lot of times we don't want to take the time to figure out what God says we can do, so we just do what we want to. There is a way that seems right. Are you reading this? There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. Somebody better start asking the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. Somebody better start asking the Bible, is this particular way of life that I'm really, really wanting to live? I want my own way. Is that really what your word says? Somebody, because there is a way that seems right to man, but it is a path that leads to death. Now, at the end of there, right, go to Isaiah 59 and 2. Two books over, take a right. Isaiah 59 and 2. Isaiah 59 and 2. Actually, look at verse 1. I want you to write down 59 and 2. Leave it right there, Ash. But look at 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. See, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God doesn't hear the prayers of a sinner. When I first gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I thought, what in the world does that mean? That God doesn't hear the prayers of the sinner. God always hears the prayers of those who are outside of him. What God doesn't do is he doesn't let us continue in our sin, and then we want to pray and believe for the things of the Lord, and we're just openly walking and doing what we want to do. That we have to get our heart back to a place of repentance. And it says that the Lord is never too far away to hear. What does he hear? Our repentance. But look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's not talking about unsaved people. That's talking about saved people. What we can do is we walk in open rebellion. Like if you, let's just say you love pornography, all right? And you're willingly doing that and you know that that's not what God wants for your life. And yet you're like, I'll stop when I get married. I'll stop. Really? Stop tonight. Bam. There you go, right? Because when we openly and willingly walk in that type of lifestyle, the Bible, it says right here in Isaiah, I'm not making this up. This is what the Word says. That our sins cause him to hide his face from us. That's a dark day, somebody. Right? Our rebellious sins, not our daily, like I screwed up and tripped and said a cuss word. I'm not talking about that. Because we're quickly like, we know that. I'm talking about a sin that you know that you know that you know and you willingly do it and you don't care that it's wrong. Right? That's open rebellion before the Lord. At the bottom of that, right, go to 1 Timothy 2 and 5. Back to the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. So we're now making a case to God loves everybody, but you have a choice. Like, can I just be honest with you tonight? You do have a choice to sin. We have that. We were given choice as a privilege. You have the right to sin, and you get to pick your sin. What you don't get to pick is your consequence. You also don't get to pick how long that consequence lasts. Right? That's a sobering thought. So we've walked through that sin can separate us. It causes God's face to turn. And then I want to show you out of 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony. So if people can understand that we make a choice to sin and we do sin, but Jesus is the mediator between us and God. He actually made a way so you can take your sinful self and walk into a place where God is holy and have God come to you and still love you. He did that. You didn't. You'll never be good enough. I'm never good enough. But Jesus is good enough to make a way. Come on, guys. He made that way so you can go and stand before the Father. Until that time, if you study the Old Testament, they had to make all kind of blood sacrifices. Finally, we get to the New Testament, and God's like, I don't need you to make blood sacrifices anymore. You now can go to the Father for yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I need you, Dad. That's what repentance is. Repentance is you were sinning over here. You're watching pornography every night, all night long. And yet you know God doesn't want you. Repentance is, I messed up. I don't want to live that way anymore. And you turn and walk in the other direction towards what is right to do in the eyes of the Lord. At the bottom of that, I want you to write, go to 1 Peter 3:18. We just got a couple more. 1 Peter 3:18. You there? Okay. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. So Jesus died. What you tell your friends is Jesus died for your sins. You couldn't die for your own sins and still get to heaven. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Like, sometimes we really forget what that really is. There's no way you could save yourself. But God took his own son. And see, until you become a parent, I promise you, look at my green eyeballs tonight. What color lipstick? Orange lipstick. Until you become a parent, you won't really understand the power of this verse. I'm going to tell you, when they give you your first little baby and put that little baby in your arms, and then somebody comes up and says, I need your baby. I want to kill it so all the world can go free. No, you better back yourself up. You better hope you're talking to somebody else. You're not taking my baby or my grandbaby. You better back that self up. Steve, is that right? Remember you and I having that conversation that when you got the twins, you would come to understand the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus differently. See, I'll get a text from y'all whenever you become parent. Pastor Kathy, I get it. Because if somebody came to say, would you offer your life for a world that's wicked, take my life. But you don't take my Terry Lynn? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, no. You don't take my baby McKenzie? Mm-mm. No, no. I hurt you. But God loves you. Listen. God loved you enough that he was willing not only to give his son, but watch his own son be crucified. See, it's one thing if I were to say, okay, take McKenzie. I'm just going to sacrifice her for the whole world. But for me to watch and put my eyes on her being crucified, the most torturous death, for me to watch that. See, for God to watch that so I could be free, I don't know that I'll ever understand that. But God being able to give Jesus and watch him be crucified got me out of jail. And it gave me life and brought my life up out of hell and put me back on the road. So we're at 1 Peter 3:18, and we establish in that in 3:18, for Christ died for all the righteous. Now look at what it says. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. That's fabulous. Right at the bottom of that, go to Romans 5 and 8. Got a couple of more. Go to Romans 5 and 8. Now, anywhere on this journey, if your friends are getting tired, you can stop. This is just building a platform where we've seen that God loves everybody. We're all sinners. Jesus made a way. He's the mediation, right? But now look at this. Look at Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, isn't it good that is anybody in the room other than me ever have a bad day where you just act really snotty and really crappy and like you think, who in the world could God even love this person? Okay, four of you. Good. I'm thankful for the rest of you that are perfect. Right? See, if you would say to me tonight, you know what, Pastor Kathy, God loves me perfectly right now because I've had a really good day. God won't love you any better if you got any better. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he also loves you on your worst day, too. Aren't you glad for that? Because it's not about your performance. It's about what Jesus did. It's your embrace. So you say to your friends that your life is not going to be perfect, but Jesus' life was. So we see in this, when you look at Romans 5 and 8, right? that while we were yet sinners, he loved us. Right, go to Revelation 3 and 20. Revelation 3 and 20. Love this one. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and him with me. So what do you got to say to your friends? Listen, Jesus is knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants this. You think you want Jesus, he wants you more. That's a hard concept to grasp. But if somebody will just come and seek Jesus, he's already on the way. He's already wanting to do that. So we've got Revelation 3 and 20. I want you to write down, go to John 1 and 12. Back to the Gospel of John. John 1 and 12. So John 1 and 12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of the natural descent nor the human descent, but born of God. See, it's really cool that we were adopted into God's family. There is one Jesus, one biological child. The rest of us were picked out because, you know, being adopted means God looked at us, saw us, and chose us. He picked us out of the group. In adoption, you have a choice. You can pick this child or you can pick that child. You can do this, but you know, God saw you and picked you out. He saw you on your very worst day. And let me just prophesy something to you. You've not seen your worst day yet. But you need to remember that on your worst day, God still loves you the same as he does tonight. Right? So at the end of John 1 and 12, I want you to write, go to Romans 10, 9. Two more passages. Romans 10 and 9. Love, love, and love this. You with me? Let's start in, leave that right there. But I want you to start just for, because I want to show you something as we wrap this up tonight. Start in verse 11 with me. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts anyone, does it say anyone? Circle that about three times in your Bible. I'm in Romans 10, verse 11. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all. For everyone, I want you to circle the word everyone over and over again in your Bible. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. And so when your friends say, you know what, I can see the documentation that I'm a sinner, but God loved me. He sent Jesus to die in my place, and that Jesus wants me to be in a relationship with him. What do I do? Well, look what it says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. You'll be saved. That's why I said don't get so caught up and you have to pray the right sinner's prayer. Tell your friends, if you believe that God is in your heart, if you believe the testimony of Jesus and you confess with your mouth, you become part of the family of God. It's an easy thing. We make it so complicated. We make it so complicated to share the gospel. And listen, God needs you. He has need of you to share the gospel. He has need of you to tell your friends about Jesus. So it says, how can they, let's keep reading for just a minute. Look at 14. How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? Some of your friends have not heard about Jesus, the real Jesus you know. Now, they may have heard a mockery of Jesus or whatever. Let me tell you the difference about this. So you can believe, listen carefully. Lord told me this morning. I wrote this down for you. You can believe that you're supposed to stop at a stop sign because it says it's in the driver's manual. You with me? You can believe that because it's in the manual. You only show your acceptance of that belief when you obey and you stop. Right? You can believe. There are a lot of people that believe there's a God. Believe. And just, the only way that they can really show that they believe is the acceptance and the obedience to do what they're supposed to do. We obey Jesus. Therefore, we show that we are His children. We belong to Him. We're part of the family. You're not going to just accept the fact that there's a God. You want your friends to believe in Jesus Christ and live a life that's worthy of that. Because God does. He is a part of our everyday journey. We don't get to live our life the way we want to and act a fool and do what we want to do. Why do I know that? Here's what I want to leave you with, and this is the prophetic picture God gave for me this morning. And we're not going to write this one down. This is for you specifically. God gave this to me. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 7. Thank you, Ashley. We're done. That's your road to show people. It gets start up here with God loves the whole world. You are a sinner. He came to die for you. He made justification for you. And He wants you in a relationship with Him. Right? Go to Matthew 7. I want to show you something. And then, Pastor Jenny, I'm ready to close. Matthew 7. Watch this. Blew my mind this morning. I've been studying the scripture a long time. Long, long time. Had never seen this until this morning. Matthew, and you're probably, okay. Matthew 7. All right, you know the passage of scripture for this, right? Matthew 7. Starts out like I told you I write my name in my Bible. So it says, enter through the gate. Who's he talking to? Me, Kathy, because the letter's written to me. But it's also written to you, so you could put, I put Kathy, enter through the gate. Mackenzie, enter through the gate. Write your name. Okay, enter through, look what it says. Enter through the narrow gate. That wants to set up for you tonight, there is a choice in gates. And we're going to talk about eternity for a minute. I just want to concrete something for you. Then I'm going to pray. There are gates for you to choose from. So Matthew is saying, listen, Kathy, choose the right gate. Because you do get a choice. Enter through the narrow gate. Look at what this says. For wide is the gate and broad is the road. That means there's a lot of people that see it. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. That means there's a wide path that leads to hell, and there are going to be many of them that get there. You know, one of the things that shakes me to my faith sometimes is the verse in the gospel that says, as they're standing there, but Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Depart from me. I know you not. Now, to me, that shakes me to my very essence. Didn't I do all that stuff? See, it's not about all the stuff. It's about the relationship. Come on, you with me? So there is a wide road. If you don't get anything tonight, get this, because it is the prophetic encouragement from God to you. There is a wide road, and many will walk towards hell. Many. Now look at this. But look what it says. But small is the gate. We know that gate to be Jesus. Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. But look what it says. It doesn't talk about entering now. And few will find it. It doesn't even, I want to prophesy to you, there'll be a smaller group that will even enter it. Because there are going to be many in that last day that, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, and have no relationship. It's not about your doing, it's about your being. You have to be in Him. You have to obey His Word. You have to know what His Word says and do what it says. Right? Because there is a narrow way, and few will even find it, let alone enter it. It doesn't even talk about entering it. I always said, you know, there's a wide path, and there's going to be a lot of folks that enter it, and there's a narrow gate, and there'll be a few that enter that. That is not what the Word says. Few will find it. Doesn't even talk about getting there. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the few. I want life, eternal life is worth living for. Like there, you might be saying, well, you don't know what my life looks like right now. Well, you don't know what my life looks like either. But God does. And what He's saying is choose life. Choose the narrow way. Choose to stop at the stop sign because you accept that it means stop. Right? That's a picture. The Lord said, tell them the picture. Stop at the stop sign. Obey what God says. Because there's a narrow way that gets you to life. What is that wrapped up in? It's wrapped up in obedience. Obedience is a choice. You can obey God's word. You can obey God's word. You can obey God's word. Or you can do it your own way. And you might find yourself on a very wide road. And we don't want that, do we? And there are a lot of your friends that are on a wide road. But guess what? All they got to do is knock. All they got to do is see that Jesus loves them. And he will make a way. And it doesn't matter how wicked they are. How do I know that? Because when I went to Thailand, I was like, God, you can't love these pedophiles. These are men that are having sex with children. You can't love them. And the Lord spoke to me very profoundly and very clearly. I died for them too. Why? Why would you die for these men that are having sex with children? Why? For the same reason I died for you. Shoo! Right? Right? So let's not be judging our friends. There's not one of them that's outside the reach of God. None of them. I put a tool in your hand. Go back and look at these scriptures. If you can start to with John 3:16, I don't care how far along the road you work, but if you can start here, you have some tool to show somebody other than your life, to show them a road that will get them to Jesus.